Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning and everybody on Zoom as well. So as we continue on in our faith series on faith over fear, there is a story in the Bible that screams it loud. It's a popular story, and we know it, and we know it well, and we shout for it. If you have your Bibles, or the screen is available as well, we are in the book of Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to read the first five verses. Joshua 6, 1 to 5. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its finest men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing their trumpets. When you hear them, sound a long blast on the trumpets. Have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." Today I want to speak on, this is my topic, a thunder shout without a transformed life means nothing. So a few weeks ago, Trinity voted in Jake and I as pastors of this church. And Ajani and I, he was home and he was looking at me. And he said, "Mom, why are you not shouting?" And I said, I'm happy. He said, "No, we'll act like it." And it dawned on me that I had a teachable moment. And I started telling him, you know, my story. And he said, "Mother, I don't want to hear it. You have ruined my day." And so I thought to myself, well, I'm going to tell Trinity when I get up here the next time. And so you have to hear the story, all right? Jericho. If you were to meet Joshua and you would tell him of this story and you would say, "Man, Joshua, it must have been great. It must have been great when you all shouted and the walls came down," and I think Joshua would say like me, "It didn't happen like that." And he would tell the story of what it felt leading up to that day. And I wanted to tell Ajani the story of what it felt leading up to the day when you guys voted, but he didn't want to hear it. When we think about Jericho, we're thinking about a fortified city. Even if you fail Sunday school, you know that those walls were impenetrable. The children of Israel had come upon this great obstacle. And imagine as Joshua came out of the River Jordan and he saw this fortified city, he must have wondered to himself, "What in the world? How are we going to overcome this one?" But the Lord had spoken to him in chapter 5, from there about verses 13 to 16, and God had said to him, "Here I stand, the Lord's army, and I want to tell you something." And by the time we get to chapter 6, this is what God is saying to Joshua. "See, I have given you the city Jericho. All of the kings and all of the mighty men is yours, but..." And he went on to give them a strategy of how they're going to overcome the city. And God said to them, "Well, you're going to march around the city for 7 days. Each day, when you march around, you're going to do it in silence. On the 7th day, you're going to march around 7 times in silence. And on the 7th time, you're going to shout. And when you shout, watch me, I'm going to bring those walls down." Now, the thing is, so many times when we hear this passage being preached, we hear that we can shout and God is going to move. You know, you give God praise and you give God worship. And that's a good thing. I like praise and worship. I like when we say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I like when we say that it is a good day to give God praise. And even when the word of God says, hallelujah, blessings and honor, glory and power belongs to our King. For the Lord our God is mighty. And the Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, he is wonderful. And when we sing songs of praise, it does something to us. And I believe that it moves God's heart as well. In fact, the word of God says that when we are worshiping God, the angels are worshiping as well. Nothing is wrong with praise. But I believe that if we come to this text and the only message we get is that we can shout and God will move, then we have missed the depth of what God really wanted to teach the children of Israel in this text. And even when I gave my shout way early on in my life, when God placed his call on my life and revealed it to me, I shouted. I was happy. But I realized I had to walk through the process, and so many days I was like, what the heck? What the heck? What the heck? Because I was not prepared, I was not transformed to step into the place and the position where God was calling me into. And it was the same thing for the children of Israel. And so we have the children of Israel, we have Joshua. And God said to them, march around the city for 7 days. That was the strategy. 6 days, when you march around, be silent. On the seventh day, march 6 times. On the seventh time, shout. And if I was Joshua, I would have looked at God and I would have said, are you absolutely crazy? That does not make any sense whatsoever. But God wanted to teach them that if you are going to be strong in me, if you're going to have some faith in me, then there are some things I need you to do. And here's the first lesson that we can get out of this text. God said to the children of Israel, you need to have a ministry of presence. You got to show up. You have got to show up by that wall. Whatever it is you're praying for God to move, to dismantle, to break down, God says you need to show up. And the thing is, you've got to show up even when it's ugly. You've got to show up even when you know that it seems impossible. You've got to know that even though the outcome may not be what we expect it to be, God said, show up. And when we look at verse 1 in this chapter, God had already said to Joshua, see, I have given you the city, in that they had already received God's promises. It was theirs to have. And it was the same thing for you and I. God has already said, I've given you salvation. I've given you promises. I will always be with you. But you will face obstacles and you will have to show up. Even if you have an illness, God said, you have to show up at the doctor's office. If you have to have chemotherapy, God says, I am going to need you to show up there. You need a job, and God says, you're going to have to write that application. We have got to show up. We have God's promises, but it does not come without you and I working in partnership with God. And so God said to, can you imagine that as they were looking at Jericho, this obstacle in their way, and they were also looking at the people, and it must have been terrifying to march around a wall over and over and over again, and all you're seeing is the enemy. And God says to them, I am not sending you to walk around because I want you to see the enemy. I want the enemy to see you. And that's why we have to show, because we have got to be able to say, devil, here I am. I know what you're trying to do to me, but here I stand. You've got to be able to say to people who are trying to hurt you and wound you, I will show up. And it's important, because so many times people believe that just because we are Christians, and just because we read the Bible, and just because we pray, that we have no fight in us. But even then, God says, you've got to show up. You've got to show up with confidence. You've got to show up with boldness and let the enemy know that I am for you and that I am with you. God wants us to be Psalms 27 people where we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the enemy came in to eat of my flesh, they stumble and fell, because you, O God, are the lifter of my head. God says, we have got to have a ministry of presence and show up. And yeah, we can still say, God, you know, I'm scared. And so God said to Joshua, all right, take with you the Ark of the Covenant. That is the presence of God himself. And so the children of Israel are marching around Jericho, but they are at a disadvantage because they are on the lower ground. And the enemy is above them at the advantage. And so God says, take the Ark of the Covenant with you. Take my presence with you. Remind yourself that I am with you. I am the Lord God Almighty. And so whatever it is that you may be facing, and you may be afraid to show up, remember that you have within you the presence of God. That even when we are in a weakened position, God is strong within us. And God says you have got to show up. And so many times, I don't know how it is for you, but there are times in my life when I would call in sick from work because I don't want to deal with my boss. And maybe you do that too. And God says, stop calling in sick. Face your boss. If you want me to change your boss's heart, show up to work. If you want me to change your marriage, you've got to show up as well. Whatever we need, God said, be present. Be present. We have got work to do as well, and we do it in partnership with God. So, one, a ministry of presence. And then God says, we have got to also have the practice of silence. Shut up. God says, shut your mouth. God says, bite your tongue until it bleeds if it has to, but be quiet. Imagine them walking around that wall, that great impenetrable wall, and God says, don't say a word. And you've got to remember that these are the children whose forefathers were always murmuring. They were always grumbling. Every time they spoke, it was something negative. And God said to them, be silent. And I don't know about you, but I know many times in my life, we can talk ourselves out of our own faith. We are like, this is stupid. I don't think I can do that. I don't think they're going to even hire me, so why should I apply? I don't think I could handle that pain. I'm never going to be healed. Maybe I should just stay home. And God says, be quiet. Because it is why the book of James says to us that you see our tongue? Our tongue is naughty. It's a viper. It's venomous. And we can easily talk ourselves out of our blessings. And we talk each other out of our blessings as well. Imagine they're walking around and take John. And John is saying, Jake, Jake. And Jake says, what? And John says, man, this is stupid. Do you feel stupid? And Jake says, yeah, but shh. And maybe Nick says, man, Joshua is crazy. I wish we had Moses still. And they're all talking, and out of nowhere, Colin says, "Man, I gotta pee, my foot hurts." And God says, "Be quiet." Sometimes we just have to ponder things in our hearts. Like, have some peace about us. Just be quiet and listen to what God has to say and be obedient about it. He said, "Shut up." Now, here's the thing. God told the children of Israel to be quiet. But not once did the Bible say to us that he told the enemy to be quiet. So imagine for a moment the enemy above you, taunting you, trash talk. "Look at you. You're so weak. What you gonna do down there? Where is your God? I'm gonna kill you. You all are going to die. You're never gonna be healed." And even then, God says, when trash talk is coming at you, when the enemy is bearing down on you, God says, even then, shh, do not respond. We don't have to respond to everything. We don't have to validate everything people say to us. And even many times, even when you're on social media and you see somebody write something stupid and you want to answer them. And so you begin typing, and you're doing it bold, exclamation, and because you want to lash back, and the Holy Spirit says, "Delete it." And you're like, "No, delete it." Because God says, "Be quiet. Do not respond to everything. You really don't have to." In the book of Jude, the angel was carrying the bones of Moses. And here comes Satan taunting him. And the only thing the angel said was this: "Satan, the Lord rebuke you." And God is saying to us, we do not have to answer everything. You do not have to respond to everything. Sometimes, just be quiet. Have that practice where you bite your tongue. Do not respond. Because many times when we respond to foolishness, we validate it. And God is saying, do not say a word. Trust me. I have given you a command. Do as I have asked you to do. Be silent. Be silent. Ponder it in your heart. If you need to walk around and cry in silence, do that. If you need to consider what God has said to you, do that, but do it in silence. And so we have God saying, practice your presence. God is saying, be silent. And here's the third lesson. God says to them, they need some perseverance. A discipline of perseverance. Imagine this for a moment. They are walking around the walls of Jericho. And Monday, they got up early. They put all their military clothes on, laced up their shoes, got together the Ark of the Covenant. They marched around the city, maybe 2 to 3 hours, in silence. Nothing happened. They go home, they sleep it off, wake up Tuesday morning, put the military clothes on, lace up their shoes, get ready the Ark of the Covenant, and they march around the city 2 or 3 hours. Nothing happened. They got up Wednesday morning, put all the military gears on, laced those shoes up, got the Ark of the Covenant ready, marched around the city for 2 or 3 hours, nothing happened. And here comes Thursday morning. And if I know people like how I know me, I'm going to sleep in. I will probably say, "Oh, to heck with that. We've been marching around that city time and time and time again, and not even a brick has fallen off that wall." And isn't that just like us? How many of us, we have been praying for God to move in our life time and time, day in, day out. Weeks begin to turn into months, and months become years, and we are praying and we are crying and we are aching. And God has not moved. And yet he's saying to us, persevere. I said, march around the wall 7 times in silence, and we go around and around, and God is trying to get the quit out of us. Many people have quit upon God because they believe that God has not answered their prayers. And if you were to ask God, how many times did Serena quit you? He'll tell you, many times. Many times I told God, I quit. I quit. Enough. And then I carry on and I do it again. But that's what we do. That's how we feel. We are burdened and we are weak and we are tired. And even then, God is saying, my people must have some stick-to-itness. God is saying, learn to anchor yourselves in me and in my promises. I know it hurts. And I know that it is hard. And I know that the enemy is coming at you, but persevere, have some endurance upon you. And that is why the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It is the promises of God. You will be strengthened even in this. And then he said, they will mount up with wings like eagles, those big, wonderful birds. They will run and not get weary. They should walk and not feel faint. God says, persevere, push through. God is not a God who you think that he's ready-made. He's quick at everything. And so we think we can just come here and say, yay, glory be to God, and he's going to work it out. God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we cannot command God to do what we want him to do when we want him to do it and how we want him to do it. God says no. Because a thunder shout without a transformed life means absolutely nothing. If God were to just give us what we want, when we want it, we will never be able to come who he wants us to be, holy people, people who can endure much. And we are living in these days. And the time is coming quickly when we will have to persevere and we will have to endure. And as we look at the world and we pray every day and we say, God have mercy, God have mercy. And we say, God fix it. But as per God's will, what will be. And so he's preparing you and I, his children, to be able to walk the walk, to walk around the Jerichos in our lives, to walk around it by showing that we are not afraid and that we will show up. To walk around it saying that we will not complain, we will not murmur, but we will be silent even in the midst of obstacles and pressures and trials and tribulations. To be even to persevere and to endure even when we face hardship, because hardship will come. Hardship is coming, and we have got to be prepared to know that we cannot do it by just shouting and praising and worshiping. Although it is important, it comes at the beginning and it also comes at the end. But before we even get there, there is a process. And we must be able to come out of it victorious because we are entering in it already victorious. You hear many talk these days about the church. The church this and the church that. But Jesus has already given his promise that his church is victorious. We are victorious. And we might look a bit lopsided today, but we still are the church and we are victorious. We have this promise. But you and I, as the body of Christ, must be able to walk through all of the difficulties that we will encounter. And so they got up Monday, they walked around in silence. They got up Tuesday, they walked around in silence. They got up Wednesday and they walk around in silence. They got up Thursday and they walk around in silence. They got up Friday, walk around in silence. Got up Saturday and did it all over again, so that by the time Sunday came, it was easy for them to shout, because they had already endured. They had already persevered. They had already obeyed the commandment of God. And so, for you and I, there are going to be some walls of Jericho that we are going to be facing. And we will pray about them. And I have to tell you this, God will not always answer when we want him to answer. God will not do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. But even in that, he's training us. He's grooming us. He's preparing us. He's transforming us to be the people who he has called us to be, because Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Trouble is coming. Trouble is here. But we must be able to stand, and we have got to remember the promise. We will overcome, because he has already overcome. And yet, we must walk through all of that difficulty before we come to our shout. And so if you have been praying, and if you have been shouting, if you have been worshiping, and if you have been praising, but you have not seen God move, do it again. And when you get up, and you're still praying, and you're still walking, and God has not answered the way you thought he would answer, God says, do it again. Persevere, push through, because God will move. God's promises are through. God's promises are true. He will do what he says he will do. But we are in partnership with God. We have work to do. There is faith and there is work. And both of them work hand in hand. And God is saying to us, I will not do it always the way you want me to do it. It will not be as swift. It will not be immediate. But I am training you. I am transforming you to be the people I have called you to be. And I wanted to tell Ajani that. And he shut me down. And maybe I should have had that celebration with him. But it is so important. It is so important that when we look at this story in the Bible and other stories like it, it is important that we remember that the shout came after they had to work, and they had to work by faith, and they had to do what God called them to do. It did not just happen like that. It did not just happen like that. They faced obstacles and they faced oppression, but God was always with them. A victory was always guaranteed. And at the end of the day, they knew what you and I will know, and that is a thunder shout without a transformed life means absolutely nothing if by tomorrow we are going to be running scared from the enemy. Saints, we have got to stand strong. We have got to be anchored. We have got to be able to have some stick-to-itness. We have got to endure to the very end. And then our moment of shout will come. And we will grab hold of the promise that God has for you and for I. May God bless us. And may God continue to strengthen us as we walk that walk around the Jerichos in our lives personally, the Jerichos in our lives corporately as a church, and the Jerichos in our lives in the world that we live in. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, it is oftentimes difficult. It is oftentimes painful. It is oftentimes frustrating. And so many times, God, we feel weak to the point where we want to faint and even die. And so, God, we pray that you would remind us that victory has already been attained, that we are a victorious people because of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would help us to not be afraid, to not back down, but to show up, to make our presence be known, knowing that you are in us and that you are with us. And in the moments where we feel like murmuring and complaining, God, we pray that you would remind us to shut our lips and to meditate and to ponder how great and wonderful you are. And when we are tired, God, and we want to do nothing but quit and to give up and to change course, we pray, oh God, that you would send us the word that says, persevere, endure to the end. God, we give you thanks and we give you praise for the victory. And we thank it in Jesus' name.